sugar?
No, thank you, Mrs. Curtis.
Yes, please.
Funny as things turn out. One day we're cut off from the world up to our necks in snow, and the next, you two turn up out of the blue and I've got a full house.
It must be very lonely living out here.
Oh, not a bit of it, miss. We're a regular little community in Sidderford.
What are the rest of the village like?
Well, there's old Miss Pursehouse, who lives at number 4. When she first arrived, she announced she'd come out here to die. That was 6 years ago. But from the first day she arrived, she perked up like nobody's business. The air up here's wonderful, you know.
Oh, I'm sure it is. It makes me feel very sleepy.
She's got a nephew staying with her at the moment, Ronnie Garfield. Seeing that the money doesn't go out with the family, that's what he's doing. Mind you, his coming here has been a providence for the young lady out at Sidderford House. Poor young thing. The idea of bringing her to that great barrack of a house in the winter time. More tea?
Thank you.
Thank you.
The cottage this side of mine, number 6, has only just been took. Gentleman of the name of Duke. That is, if you can call him a gentleman. There's no saying. A bashful sort of man he is. Might be a military gentleman by the looks of him. But somehow he hasn't got the manners. Would you like another scone?
No, thank you.
Yes, please.
Help yourself. Then there's Mr. Ryecroft, an elderly little gentleman. They say he used to go out to outlandish parts to get birds for the British Museum.
Really?
He's what they call a naturalist. Always out roaming over the moor when the weather permits. And his cottage is simply bulging out with books. There's damson jam if you want it.
Thank you.
Major Burnaby lives at number 1. He lives by himself and I go in to do for him early mornings. He's a very neat gentleman and very particular. He and Captain Trevelyan were thick as thieves.
And what about the people who've taken Sidderford House?
Oh, what about them indeed? That's what nobody can make out. Plenty of money there. Amos Parker says their weekly grocery book comes to well over £9. And you wouldn't believe the eggs that goes into that house. Brought their servants from Exeter with them, they did. But they don't like it and want to leave, and I'm sure I don't blame them.
Has Major Burnaby got back to Sidderford yet?
Oh, yes, indeed he has. Came tramping in just the same as ever about half an hour before you arrived. You haven't walked all the way from Exhampton, I says. Why not, he says to me. If a man has got 2 legs, he don't need 4 wheels. He looks bad, though. It's a miracle he ever got through to Exhampton on Friday night.
If you'll excuse me, Mrs. Curtis, I think I'll pop round and have a word with him. Tell him the camera parade will be tomorrow morning.
I'll come with you.
His doorbell's a bit dodgy. Give it a good push.
Good afternoon, Major.
Oh, it's you, is it?
This is Miss Trefusis. She very much wanted to meet you.
May we come in?
Oh, of course, yes, certainly. Do.
Sit yourselves down. Anyway, you like.
Thank you.
I think I should come straight to the point, Major. You see, I'm engaged to James Pearson. Naturally, I am terribly anxious about him.
Oh, dear. That's a bad business. My dear young lady, I'm more sorry about it than I can say.
Major Burnaby, tell me honestly, do you believe Jim is guilty? You needn't mind saying so if you do. I would 100 times rather people didn't lie to me.
No, I do not think him guilty. Mind you, I only met him a couple of times when he came over to see Joe. He seemed a nice young chap, but he could be a bit weak. Don't be offended if I say he's the kind of young fellow that might easily go wrong if temptation came in his way. But murder? No. And mind you, I know what I'm talking about. You can't spend the time I spent in the army without becoming a fair judge of men.
I'm sure that's true. I'm very grateful to you.
Can I offer you whiskey and soda? I'm afraid there's nothing much else.
No, thank you.
Well, I ought to be able to produce some tea.
We had tea just a little while ago at Mrs. Curtis's. Yes.
Who do you think could have done it? Do you have any idea at all?
No, I'm damned if I... I'm sorry. I took it for granted it was some chap that broke in, but... Oh, now the police say that can't be so. They say nobody broke in. But all the same, it beats me, Mr. Fusis. Trevelyan hadn't an enemy in the world, as far as I know.
And you would know, if anybody did.
Yes. I suppose I knew more of Trevelyan than most of his relatives did.
And you can't think of anything? Anything that would help in any way?
I know what you're thinking. Like in books, there ought to be some little incident that would be a clue.
Mm. Major Burnaby, forgive me putting it like this, but didn't you get the wind up rather easily about him that night?
Yes, there's no denying it. I suppose I did. I knew the whole spirit thing was tommy rot, yet even so I...
You felt somehow it wasn't.
Exactly.
That's why I wonder...
Wonder what?
You say you don't believe in all this table-turning business, and yet, in spite of the awful weather and what must have seemed to you the absurdity of the whole thing, you felt so uneasy that you had to set out, no matter what the weather conditions, and see for yourself if Captain Trevelyan was all right.
That is true.
Well, don't you think that may have been because there was something in the atmosphere?
Well, I don't know. I mean, of course, women take these things seriously.
What are they like, these Willets?
Well, I don't know. They're very kind, you know. Very hospitable and all that.
You are sure they hadn't met Captain Trevelyan before?
Quite sure. If they had, Joe would have mentioned it to me. There were no secrets between us.
What was Mrs. Willett's attitude toward Captain Trevelyan?
She pestered the life out of him. Always asking him to come and see them.
I see. You don't think she might have taken Sitterford House on purpose to get acquainted with Captain Trevelyan?
I suppose she might. But it would have been a rather expensive way of doing it, don't you think? Mind you, the inspector thought of that, too.
Oh, did he? But it's time we were going. Thank you very much, Major.
Well, I'm sorry I haven't been more help to you. If I were a clever chap, I might have hit upon something that would have provided you with a clue. You've all my sympathy, Mr. Fusis. Count on me for anything you want.
Thank you. I will.
Goodbye, sir. I'll be along in the morning with my camera, if that's convenient.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, certainly.
It's shaken him a lot. More than he cares to show.
Well, Trevelyan was his best friend. It's not surprising.
Well, that must be Mr. Ryecroft's bungalow. And the next one must belong to the mysterious Mr. Duke. And that must be where Miss Pursehouse lives. We did the right thing staying with Mrs. Curtis. Thanks to her, we know the whole village.
The trouble is that most of the village has a cast-iron alibi.
You mean the party at the Willets?
Well, if they were all listening to the table rocking out spirit messages, they couldn't have been laying about Captain Trevelyan with a sandbag at the same time.
I'm not so sure.
But it just isn't possible.
Well, on the face of it, no. But it's what I was trying to put to Major Burnaby, though he couldn't understand what I meant. The reason he felt he just had to go down into Exhampton to see that Captain Trevelyan was all right was because there was something in the mind of somebody sitting at the table that he'd somehow or other picked up.
A kind of telepathy, do you mean?
Oh, look, we can't stand around talking in the cold. Let's go in. Come up to my room.
But don't you think that Mrs. Curtis...
She needn't see you. Anyway, I'm sure cousins can go into one another's rooms, even on Dartmoor. Oh, it's so stuffy in here. I'm sure Mrs. Curtis is trying to keep the heat in, but open the window a bit, will you?
Just enough to let the air in.
I think I've got a kind of starting point. It seems to me that it could all hinge on this table-turning business. You've done table-turning, haven't you?
Well, yes, once or twice, but I've never taken it very seriously.
No, of course not. It's the kind of thing one does on a wet afternoon, and everyone accuses everyone else of shoving. Well, if you've played it, you know what happens. The table starts spelling out, say, a name. Well, it's a name somebody knows. Very often they recognise it at once and hope it isn't going to be that. And all the time they're what one calls shoving. I mean, sort of recognising things makes one give an involuntary jerk when the next letter comes and rocks the table. And the less you want to do that, sometimes the more it happens.
Yes, that's true.
I don't believe for a moment in spirits or anything like that. But supposing that one of those people who were playing knew that Captain Trevelyan was being murdered at that minute.
Oh, I say, that's awfully far-fetched.
Well, it needn't be quite as crude as that. We're just taking a hypothesis, that's all. We're asserting that somebody knew that Captain Trevelyan was dead and absolutely couldn't hide the knowledge. The table betrayed them.
Well, it's awfully ingenious, but I don't believe for a minute that it's true.
We'll assume that it is true. I'm sure that in detection you mustn't be afraid to assume things.
Oh, I'm quite agreeable. We'll assume that it is true. Anything you like.
So, what we have to do is to consider very carefully the people who were playing and find out if they knew anyone who was in Exhampton at the time of the murder.
Hmm.
To begin with, there's Major Burnaby and Mr. Rycroft. Well, it seems wildly unlikely that either of them would have an accomplice who was the murderer. Then there's Mr. Duke. And at the moment, we know nothing at all about him. So he could be anybody, part of a gang or anything. And then there are the Willetts. Oh, Charles, there is something awfully mysterious about the Willetts.
But what on earth have they to gain from Captain Trevelyan's death?
Well, on the face of it, nothing. But if my theory is correct, there must be a connection somewhere.
But your theory is only... Listen.
What is it?
Mr.
Hughes, Mr. Hughes. Oh, that's Mrs. Curtis. Yes, Mrs. Curtis?
Do you hear a bell, miss? Do you hear it?
What is it?
It's the bell of Princetown, miss. Nearly 12 miles away. It means that a convict's escaped. Make sure you lock your window tonight.
Oh, I will, Mrs. Curtis. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Oh. I'll do it.
Oh, dear.
Well, it's a pity that things happen all wrong. I mean, if this convict had escaped on Friday, there would be our murderer nicely accounted for. Hungry man, desperate criminal, breaks in. Trevelyan defends his Englishman's castle, and desperate criminal biffs him one. That's all so simple.
It would have been.
Instead of which, he escapes 3 days late. It's hopelessly inartistic.
You're up bright and early this morning.
Yes, I'm going for a walk, Mrs. Curtis. I need some fresh air.
I hope you'll wrap up warm. It's very cold. Your cousin not going with you?
No, he won't be stirring for hours yet.
Well, keep your eyes open for that convict if you go out in the moor. They say he's a nasty customer.
Oh, nowhere much to hide up here. Nothing for miles around. Just bare rock and the snow lying very thick. Oh, that must be Exhampton down there in the valley. You ought to see things better when you're high up like this. It ought to be like lifting the top of a doll's house and peering in.
Excuse me.
Oh.
Miss Trefusis, I believe.
Yes.
Yes, my name is Rycroft.
Oh.
Now, you must forgive me speaking to you, but in this little community of ours, the smallest detail is known, and your arrival here yesterday has naturally gone the round.
Oh.
I can assure you that everyone feels a deep sympathy with your position, Miss Trefusis.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you.
You know that a prisoner escaped from Princetown last night?
Yes, we heard the bell. Has he been recaptured?
Not that I've heard, but he'll be taken soon enough, poor fellow. No one has made a successful escape from Princetown in the last 20 years.
Which way is Princetown?
Oh, it's over there, to the south.
Oh.
Yes, there's fog over that part of the moor. Otherwise, we'll be able to see it. It's only 12 miles away, as the crow flies.
It would have been a bitterly cold night to be out in the open with no kind of shelter.
Mm. Yes, it's curious how one's instincts rebel at the thought of a man being hunted down. And yet these men at Princetown are dangerous and violent criminals. They're the kind of men that you and I would do our utmost to put there in the first place.
I suppose you're right.
You must be frozen. How thoughtless of me. Now, look, why don't we go down to my cottage? Hmm? It's not really very far, and we can talk over a cup of coffee.
I've never seen so many books. If you get any more, you'll have to move out.
They represent my various obsessions. The criminology section is in the large room at the back. The bird books are on either side of the window. And the books on occult phenomena are over here.
Occult? Do you believe in the spirit world, Mr. Rycroft?
Well, to a certain degree, Miss Trefusis. Yes, I wouldn't go so far as to say
that... What do you think about the table-turning business? On the day of Captain Trevelyan's death?
Oh, an astonishing case. I've already sent an account of it to the Society for Psychical Research.
You know, somehow the table turning seems to me to hold the key to the whole mystery. Tell me, Were any of the people there, with the exception of yourself, in any way psychic?
Oh, my dear young lady, I myself am not psychic. No. I have no powers in that direction. I am only a deeply interested observer.
And what about Mr. Duke?
What about him?
Well, who is he?
But to tell you the truth, Miss Refusis, nobody knows.
Well, how extraordinary.
No, as a matter of fact, it isn't. He's such a very unmysterious person. I should imagine the only mystery about him is his social origin. But I wouldn't think he was possessed of psychic powers. No, one never knows, of course.
And Mr. Garfield?
Ronnie? Oh, a nice lad, but not remarkable in any way.
Well off, I suppose.
No, stony broke, I believe. He only comes down here to dance attendance on his aunt, from whom he has what people call expectations. Miss Pursehouse is a very sharp lady and knows what his attentions are worth, I think.
I should like to meet her.
Yes, you certainly must. She will, no doubt, insist on meeting you. Curiosity, alas, my dear Miss Trefusis. Curiosity.
So you're up at last.
And comfortably breakfasted. I was wondering if I ought to go over to Princetown. It's amazing how things pile up once you have a bit of luck.
I thought you were going to take photographs of Major Burnaby at his cottage.
I think I shall say that the weather's wrong. This escaped convict's too good a chance to pass over. Now, Mrs. Curtis is convinced he's holed up in some place called the Pixie's Cave. Well, I ought to take a look at that.
I say, Miss Refuses.
Oh, when is this?
I say, frightfully sorry to butt in and all that, but my aunt sent me along.
Is your aunt Miss Pursehouse?
That's right. So you know all about it?
A little. I suppose you're Mr. Garfield.
Yes, I ought to have told you. Well, the fact is, my aunt said she wanted to see you, and I was to come along and tell you so. Of course, if you've got a headache or something, it'll be quite all right and you needn't bother.
Oh, but I should like to bother. I'll come over with you straight away.
Oh, but that's simply splendid. Lots of girls would have been awfully offended. But you know what old ladies are. To tell you the truth, my aunt's rather a tartar.
Very kind of you, my dear, to come along and see an old woman. But you know what it is when you're an invalid. You must have a finger in every pie, and if you can't go to the pie, then the pie has to come to you. Ronnie?
Yes, Aunt Caroline?
Go out and paint the garden furniture.
Righto.
I suppose you pity me, Miss Trefusis, lying here never able to get up and walk about.
No, I don't know that I do. If one has the determination, I suppose one can always get something out of life. If you can't get it in one way, you get it in another.
Quite right. You've got to take life from a different angle, that's all. Now, let's get down to business. Not being a complete fool, I suppose you'll come up to the village to find out what you can about the people here and see if there's anything that has any bearing on the murder. You want to get your fiancé off the hook?
That's about it.
Well, if there's anything you want to know about the people here, I can tell you.
How about Major Burnaby?
Oh, typical retired army officer. Narrow-minded and limited in outlook. Jealous disposition. Credulous in money matters because he can't see a yard in front of his nose. He likes to pay his debts promptly and dislikes people who don't wipe their feet on the mat.
Mr. Ryecroft.
Queer little man. Enormous egotist. I suppose he's offered to help you solve the case owing to his wonderful knowledge of criminology.
There isn't much escapes you, Miss Pursehouse. Tell me about the Willetts.
The Willetts?
Hmm.
You may well ask. I'll tell you something about them, my dear. It may be useful to you, it may not. Look in the top right-hand drawer of my dressing table. Bring me the blank envelope that's there.
Oh, is this it?
Ah, thank you. Now, I don't say it's important. Everyone tells lies, and Mrs. Willetts is perfectly entitled to do the same as everybody else. When the Willetts arrived here with their smart clothes and their maids, all their trunks were brought up by the station bus. I was looking out as they passed, and I saw a coloured label blown off one of the trunks into the garden. Now, if there's one thing I hate more than another, it is paper lying about on the borders. So, I sent Ronnie out to pick it up. It was a bright, pretty thing. I thought I might as well keep it for the scrapbooks I keep for the children's hospital. And I wouldn't have thought twice about it, except for Mrs. Willett saying she and Violet had never been out of South Africa.
And?
Well, see for yourself.
Needles Hotel, Melbourne.
Australia isn't South Africa. At least it wasn't in my young days.
Hmm.
And I'll tell you another thing. I don't know what that peculiar accent of theirs is, but it certainly isn't South African.
It certainly is curious.
Hmm.
And it's even more curious that they should come to live here in the middle of winter.
Have you met the Willetts?
No. I thought of going there this morning, only I didn't know quite what to say.
Well, I'll provide you with an excuse. Now, fetch my fountain pen and some notepaper from the desk.
Yes, Miss Purcell.
Ronnie! Why can't the boy come when he's called? Ronnie!
Is there anything the matter, Aunt?
Now, tell me, when you went to the Willetts yesterday, did you have any particular kind of cake for tea?
Cake?
What did you have to eat for tea?
Oh, there were some pâté sandwiches. Pretty frightful. Oh, and there was a ginger cake.
Ginger cake. That'll do. Go back to your painting, Ronnie.
Yes, Aunt.
But don't hang about. Oh, don't stand there with your mouth open. You had your adenoids out when you were 8 years old, so there's no excuse for it.
Oh, righto.
Here we are, Miss Purcell, and the pen.
Ah, well, you'll have to write for me. My hand's much too trembly.
Yes, Miss Purcell.
Dear Mrs. Willett, my nephew tells me you had the most delicious ginger cake for tea yesterday afternoon. But will you be so very kind as to give me the recipe for it? I know you'll not mind my asking you this. An invalid has so little variety in her diet. Miss Trefusis has kindly promised to take this note for me, as Ronnie is busy this morning.
Busy?
Is not the news about the convict too dreadful? Yeah. Now that should get you in.
Oh.
I'll probably find the doorstep littered with reporters. But you ask for Mrs. Willett and say you brought the note from me, and you'll sail in.
I'm sorry, miss, but Mrs. Willett isn't seeing anyone this morning.
I brought a note from Miss Purcehouse. Would you kindly give it to her?
Oh, I see. Well, you'd better come inside. I'll take your note up.
Nothing very much in the way of clues lying about here. Glass tulips. A girl's hat. A Pierrot doll with remarkably long legs. And a distinct absence of family photographs.
Good morning, Miss Trefusis. I'm sorry Mother isn't down. She's spending the morning in bed.
I'm so sorry. I must have come at an awkward time.
No, of course not. Cook is writing out the recipe for the cake now. Are you staying with Miss Purcehouse?
I'm not exactly staying with her. In fact, I'm at Mrs. Curtis's.
Oh, of course. The cottage is terribly small, and she has her nephew Ronnie staying with her. She's a wonderful person, but to tell you the truth, I'm rather afraid of her.
She is a bit of a bully, isn't she? But it must be an awful temptation to be a bully, especially if people won't stand up to you.
Oh, I wish I could stand up to people. We've been having the most awful morning, absolutely pestered by reporters.
Oh, of course. This was Captain Trevelyan's house. The man who was murdered at Exhampton.
Yes, wasn't it dreadful?
You don't mind talking about it?
No. No, of course not. Why should I?
The table turning sounds absolutely gruesome.
Oh, it was horrid. We thought at first it was somebody fooling about, only it seemed a very nasty kind of a joke.
Must have been rather frightening.
Yes, it was. I shall never forget when we turned the lights on, the look on everybody's faces. You could see that Major Burnaby was really rattled by it. And I thought poor little Mr. Rycroft was going to have a heart attack or something. And yet he's an expert at psychic research. You'd think he'd be used to that kind of thing. As for Ronnie, he looked as if he'd seen a ghost, actually seen one.
Awfully spooky.
And then Major Burnaby suddenly made up his mind to go down to Exhampton. We all tried to stop him and said he'd be buried in a snowdrift, but he would go. And we sat there after he'd gone, all feeling dreadful and worried. And then yesterday morning we got the news.
Do you think it was Captain Trevelyan's spirit?
Or do you think it was clairvoyance or telepathy?
No idea what it was. But I do know that I shall never play around with things like that again.
Excuse me, miss, but cook asked me to give you this.
Thank you, Grace. It's the recipe for Miss Pursehouse.
Oh, thank you.
As a matter of fact, you came just in time. This murder business has upset the servants. Goodness knows why. It isn't as if Captain Trevelyan had been killed in this house. Mother lost her temper with them all yesterday evening and sent them packing. They're going after lunch. We're going to get two men instead. Somebody to look after the house and a kind of butler chauffeur. I think it'll answer much better.
What made you think of coming to live here?
Oh, we thought it'd be rather fun.
Don't you find it dull in an isolated place like this?
Oh, no, I love the country.
Well, I'd better be going. Thank you so much, Miss Willett. I do hope your mother will be all right.
Oh, she's quite well, really. It's only the servants and all the worry.
Of course.
Well, let me show you out.
I didn't hear the maid turn the key in the lock. Count to 10 and let myself in again. Start to look for the gloves I left on the drawing room table. There must be a clue in there somewhere.
And was there?
Well, I didn't actually find anything, but I did overhear something very interesting.
Oh, tell me.
I stood around in the hall for a while. I could hear women's voices upstairs, Violet's and her mother's, but it was hard to make out what they were saying.
So?
Then Violet came down the stairs and we found my gloves.
Yeah.
But before she came down, I did just catch a few words. Mrs. Willett said, "My God, I can't bear it. Will tonight never come?"
Oh, very odd.
We've got to find out what's going to happen tonight. Of course, it may be nothing at all. But the servants are being cleared out of the way very deliberately. Well, no one would sack all of them just like that. Mm. And another thing, the Willetts don't come from South Africa at all. Miss Pursehouse found out that they come from Australia.
Really? Now, that is interesting.
Something queer is going to happen at Cityford House tonight, and you're going to be on the spot to see what it is.
Do you mean I have to spend the whole night shivering under a bush in the garden?
Well, you don't mind that, do you? Well, journalists are used to that sort of thing, surely.
What's with missing?
Oh, you will do it, won't you?
Oh, very well. Well, I wouldn't want to miss anything. But the fog's coming down again.
It won't stop me getting to Exeter, will it?
Well, why do you want to go to Exeter?
I have to meet Mr. Dacres there. He's my solicitor, and he's working on Jim's defence. And I think I shall pay a visit to Jim's Aunt Jennifer while I'm there. After all, Exeter isn't very far from Exhampton.
Well, meaning she might have nipped over by train and battered her brother over the head and no one would have noticed her absence.
Oh, I know it sounds rather improbable, but one has to go into everything. Not that I want it to be Aunt Jennifer. I'd much rather it were Martin Daring. He's an ideal person for a murderer. Always getting telegrams from bookmakers and losing money on horses. It's annoying that he's got such a good alibi. A publisher and a literary dinner seem so very unbreakable and respectable.
What did you say his name was?
Martin Daring.
When this dinner was on Friday night?
The night of the murder.
But that's astonishing. You know, I came down to Exhampton on Friday evening. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a lot of information about another story I was going to get from a pal of mine, another reporter. Carruthers, his name is.
But I don't see what that has
to do with... Well, he was coming round to see me at 6:30, if he could, before he went to some literary dinner. Well, he covers the highbrow stuff, does Carruthers. Well, and if he couldn't get round, he'd send me a line.
Can't you get to the point?
Don't be so impatient. Well, Carruthers didn't get round, so he sent me a line. But he must have been a bit screwed when he wrote it, because he didn't just give me the stuff I wanted, he gave me a full description of the dinner. Oh, he'd had a rotten time, apparently. Well, there was an empty seat on one side of him where Ruby McCallmott, that awful bestseller woman, ought to have been, and an empty seat on the other side where Martin Daring, the novelist...
What?
So he moved up next to a poet who was very well known in Blackheath and tried to make the best of things.
So Daring wasn't at the dinner at all?
Exactly.
You're sure you remember the name right?
Positive.
There's the publisher still, of course. The one he's supposed to have spent the afternoon with. But I rather think he was just going back to America. And if so, that looks fishy. I mean, it looks as though he'd selected someone who couldn't be checked up on without rather a lot of trouble.
Do you really think we've hit it?
Well, it looks like it. I think the best thing to do is to go straight to that nice Inspector Narricot and tell him these new facts. Mm. I mean, we can't tackle an American publisher who's in the middle of the Atlantic. That's a job for the police. Now, you'd better find out how I can get to Exhampton. The man at the smithy has a car of sorts, I believe. And there's just one other thing I want to do before leaving Cityford.
What's that?
I'm going to pay a call on Mr. Duke. He's the only person in Sitterford I haven't seen, and he was one of the people at the table turning.
Oh, that's easy. We pass his cottage on the way to the smithy.
Well, well, well. Do you see what I see?
What?
The good inspector coming out of Mr. Duke's cottage. What a coincidence.
Hello, Inspector.
What? Sorry?
Emily Trefusis.
Oh, of course. Hello.
I'm so glad to have met you. There are one or two things I want to talk to you about.
Delighted, Mr. Trefusis, but I'm afraid you'll have to look sharp. I have a car waiting. I've got to get back to Exhampton almost immediately.
Oh, how very fortunate. Could you give me a lift, Inspector?
I'd be very pleased to do so, Mr. Trefusis.
Will you go and get my suitcase, Charles? It's all ready.
Right you are. I didn't expect to see you in Sitterford, Mr. Trefusis.
I did say au revoir, Inspector.
I didn't notice at the time.
You've not seen the last of me by a long way. You've made a mistake, you know. Jim's not the murderer.
Indeed.
And what's more, I believe you agree with me.
Now, what makes you think that?
What were you doing in Mr. Duke's cottage? You're doubtful, aren't you? Well, I've got something to tell you that may help. I'll tell you all about it on the way to Exhampton.
You must prepare yourself for a shock, Emily.
What do you mean, Mr. Dacres? What's happened?
Things are much worse for James Pearson than we imagined.
Worse?
Certain facts have come to light which are bound to go against him. It is those facts which led the police to charge him with the crime.
Do tell me.
There's no doubt that he was in urgent need of money. He'd been borrowing, to use a euphemism, from his firm without their knowledge. I don't know whether you knew he was fond of speculating in shares.
I didn't.
Well, on one occasion recently, knowing that certain dividends were to be paid into his account in a week's time, he anticipated them by using the firm's money to buy certain shares which he had knowledge were bound to go up. The transaction was quite satisfactory, and Pearson doesn't seem to have any doubts about its honesty, but just over a week ago he did the same thing again. But what he didn't know was that the time for examining the firm's books had been brought forward, and he was faced with a very unpleasant dilemma. He knew he would be found out, and he was quite unable to raise the money. As a last resort, he rushed down to try to persuade his uncle to help him. This, Captain Trevelyan resolutely refused to do. So you see, my dear Emily, the police have a very pressing motive for the crime. The moment Captain Trevelyan was dead, Pearson could easily have obtained the necessary sum as an advance from Mr. Kirkwood, saved himself from disaster and probable criminal prosecution.
Oh, the idiot. The absolute idiot. But, Mr. Dacres, do you believe that he did it?
Curiously enough, I do not. He hasn't, if you will allow me to say so, Emily, of a very high standard of commercial honesty. But I do not believe for one moment that he sandbagged his uncle.
Well, that's a good thing. I only wish the police thought the same.
Can I offer you another cup of coffee?
No, thank you. I have got quite a lot to fit in while I'm here.
Where are you off to now, then?
I'm off to see Jim's Aunt Jennifer. She isn't expecting me, so I'm not certain what kind of reception I'll get.